want to be harmless, but we cannot be ungodly. And that is what happens when our hope, as we tolerate that which is egregious, when we tolerate it to without standing up against it, we begin to do the devil's work. It is an ungodly brand of tolerance. We understand tolerance. Live and let live to a point. But at some point, we have got to engage the lies of Satan.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of 2 Timothy, verse by verse. There is a tension that exists between being tolerant and being ungodly. Pastor Rick challenges us to be careful to be harmless among those with whom we walk in this world. Of course, we should not set out to offend anyone, but he also warns us that we cannot be ungodly. At some point, we must engage the lies of Satan in our culture. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 16, as we join Pastor Rick.
When a person is swimming, only the head is what we really see. And the head of each Christian is Christ. The flesh is gone. Christ is visible. That's the goal of the Christian in this life. He says the word of truth. You won't get there without the truth. The Bible does not lie about the lies we live. It exposes it. And I agree with all the Bible, though I don't agree with everything in the Bible. And what I mean by that is I don't agree in the Bible when Satan speaks. I don't agree with him. But I agree that the record of it is true absolutely. And so there are many things in Scripture I don't agree with. I don't agree with King Saul, probably on almost anything. But I agree the record of his life is absolutely accurate. And the intended meaning comes directly from God. And its application are almost inexhaustible. They're inexhaustible to us, but not to God. And thus, the Scripture, the word of truth, it condemns that which is false. And it condemns at the same time all the other religions in the world, not trying to make them comfortable in their error at the same time. Now, not in a harsh way. Well, you know, if you're guilty, anything that disagrees with you is harsh. But not looking to just sort of insult them. Though, the truth insults those who've embraced lies. I'm thinking about my next Christmas message, if I make it that far. What kind of insult must I use to jar people who are wishy-washy, make-believe about Jesus Christ? How can I insult them into the truth without sinning? Because so often that's what it takes. When you've tried every kind word, okay, fine, the gloves come off. You know what? And so the truth rules out all the world's false religions, and they don't like it, and they don't like us because of it. Our response is not supposed to be, well, let's change our truth then. Our response is to be, well, this is why. This is why we believe. I was on the phone with calling up about some problems on one of my things I bought, and I was talking to the technician, and they begin to ask me about Christ. And I'm trying to make a long story longer. He says, well, how do you know? How do you know which one? It was a process of elimination. That cuts it down drastically. You just start eliminating the ones that are false by their own documents. For example, when some religion tells you you've got to do this to earn your salvation, and it was just, they all do, that's false. By the laws of reason, God will not be, if he is God, he will not be indebted to human beings. You see, grace means I don't owe you this, but I've made a way for you to receive it anyway. There are a few terms. You've got to be for real. You've got to come to the realization that I am God and you are not. That I am holy and you are not. That you need this and I don't need you. But I want you, and I'll even top it, what God says. I want you so much, I'll die for you. In fact, that's the proof of my love. God demonstrates his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, it says in Romans 5:8. That's our message. There's no comeback to this that I've ever heard. There's not some, usually they're, they'll attack human behavior, not the Word of God. You're going to disqualify the Bible, you've got to disqualify the Bible, not the people who like the Bible. Two different things. Because you won't stand and be judged by the people who like the Bible. You'll stand and be judged by the one who authored it. And that's our message, and the world's not getting it. We need to keep firing it. Verse 16, he says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Well, do you know what is worthwhile about religious idle babbling? Nothing. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. How difficult it is to restrain our lips, especially when we're passionate about something, when we're excited about something. Who wants to hold it back? Well, that's oftentimes when we offend folks. Now, granted, sometimes we do say the wrong thing. Believe it or not, I have said the wrong thing in my life. I know it's hard. You say, look at you. No way. To more ungodliness. Don't be fake. Walk away from it. Shun that which is profane. Profane, it's not part of God. It goes through this threshold. It tramples over these things of God like they're meaningless. And that's what God had to work out of Israel when he led them out of Egypt and into the wilderness to get the Word of God, the mind of God. This is how he set it up. Yeah, I don't like it. Well, you don't have a choice because there's nothing better. And so, verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Ooh, what a verse. So here Paul has had problems with these people in the church. And he said what these guys had to say. The Greek word for spreading like cancer is gangrene, where we get our English word gangrene. It comes from this Greek word, gangrena. And it simply means an eating sore. And so what these men have had to say, their heresy in the church was like a flesh-eating bacteria. There was no way to stop it except cut it out, excommunicate them, put them out, identify who they are. And now many Christians refuse to face facts about their own faith given to them by the very Christ whom they claim to be a part of. And thus they become duped advocates for Satan's work through this misguided hope that, well, you know, we all make mistakes, we do, but we don't all get away with them all the time. And there are certain mistakes that cannot be given a pass, especially those mistakes that will damn your soul. And so when you say, you know, sort of, God's word's a little harsh here, we're going to dismiss it. Who do you think you're helping? God? You think he wrote it so that you could redact it? You could edit it out? You got to be wise. You want to be harmless, but we cannot be ungodly. And that is what happens when our hope, as we tolerate that which is egregious, when we tolerate it without standing up against it, we begin to do the devil's work. It is an ungodly brand of tolerance. We understand tolerance. Live and let live to a point. But at some point, we have got to engage the lies of Satan, which are carried exclusively by human beings. They're carried in this physical universe. Satan carries them in the spiritual world. Some, again, Christians just refuse to face these facts. And sometimes we must get rid of the one to save the 99. Timothy had watched Paul deal with Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander the coppersmith. We'll come across him again before we're done with the second letter. Not this morning, but we'll come again to him in chapter 4. Timothy had watched Paul deal with these devilish characters. And so when Paul mentions them in the letter to Timothy, he's got firsthand knowledge of this. He says, yeah, I remember those guys, and I don't want those type in the church because they will hurt the flock. And what we believe has everything to do with where we're going. Nobody gets out of this life alive. And to say, well, I'll be all right. On what grounds will you be all right? Will anybody jump off a cliff and say, I'll be all right? With what grounds? The ground, as a matter of fact, will make sure you're not going to be all right. And so why do we think it's different when we come to God? That everything just stops in creation. There are no parallels. Everything just stops. And we now enter into Alice's Wonderland. Those big hats. Verse 18. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Well, that's what I've been trying to say. It's serious business. Very much of what is called Christianity is something other than Christianity. But it still gets away with being lumped in with true Christianity. And that being lumped in is the leaven. And Satan is a master at destroying that which is right by introducing enough of that which is wrong. Fraudulent, hijacked, imitation, counterfeit, bogus, stolen, trashed are just some of the descriptive words that belong to some of that which is called Christianity. Who wants to follow a lie? And so once these characters were following the shepherd, now they're no longer following him because they felt that they've got enough of him to do without him. And that's where the problems just intensify. It says in verse 18, saying that the resurrection is already past. Well, here it was the resurrection as the scriptural point of corruption. But since then, there have been all sorts of things that they've gotten wrong, that they've tried to preach in the name of Christ that really come from somewhere other than Christ. Again, leaven. Paul said, a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Well, and if you know anything about yeast, you know how true that is. That physical law has everything to do with the spiritual laws. The spiritual laws come first. They are higher, and they are paralleled by physical laws. And there's one example. If the resurrection had already come, then why were people still dying? Why were they still said the doctrine is heresy? And they corrupted some in the church. And they got away with it. Hymenaeus and Philetus were robbing souls of truth, and therefore they were robbing heaven of souls. Now granted, the people that were gullible enough to fall for it, they're the ones that had to stand before the Lord. But it would not be forgotten when Hymenaeus and Philetus stood before him. It would not go well with them either. It counts. It matters. Where else, if, you know, again, this is a basic one we try to use with an unbeliever to get him to understand the laws of sensibility don't just stop on whim. God wants us to be faithful to him. Now, if you have a wife or a girlfriend, do you want them to be faithful to you or not? Well, why do you get to want that, but God can't have that? Why can there not be corruption towards him? If he is holy, that is the easiest thing in existence, in this creation, to defile a holy God, because the world is corrupted. Satan has taken over. He is said in the Bible, the God of this world. Adam sold out the rights. Adam represented you and me. I would say before the Lord, wait a minute, if I was a carnal man, that's not fair. Adam and Eve fell, not me. Why do I get to suffer for those two? Because they represented you. They did just what you were going to do. Me being God, I know that. You being man, don't. And so I have to come up with many infallible proofs that many people have problems with because they don't like it. Because when they hear the truth, they're saying to them, so they're taking inventory, what do I have to throw away that I like so much in order to follow God? Everything. That's what. What do you get in return? Everything. The unbeliever doesn't know that. The true believer is not letting it go. That's why we are persecuted to death. That's why Christians have burned at the stake, because they have seen the other side. And they're not giving it up. Now, there are those who burned at the stake. We've had no choice. There are those who burned at the stake for a belief that they were serious about, but it had nothing to do with eternal truths or proofs. That's just courage. But the Christian, given an opportunity to recant, refusing to recant, burned at the stake because God's that real to them. And so It overthrows the faith of many. It's serious business. It's major league. It's major as it gets. How come a lie is more appealing to some people than the truth? Why is this? It's the whole story of people who join cults. They rather believe the lie than the truth. It is the whole story behind gossipers. My own rule I've had to implement on myself many times, and not my own rule. First, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. But anyway, that's what I'm doing. A rule that I have, there's a principle that I've got to live by, and it hurts sometimes, is don't believe one side of the story, no matter what. Find out both sides, then come up with your decision. You know, somebody your wife may say something that something happened, and you're ready to go to guns on her behalf. But it's not the whole story. I remember my son years ago as a kid, he got in trouble. And I was going up to school ready for them. I mean, I wasn't armed or anything like that. I didn't even have a picture of a gun. We don't have time, but anyhow. And so I'm at it with them. And there are like 10 of them and me. And I figured they weren't going to win. They didn't have enough people. And so they presented the evidence. He was guilty. And, that was an unpleasant lesson. No, I didn't, wait till I get that boy. Well, there was some of that going on, I got to admit. But anyhow, be careful. Verse 19, I have one more thing to really get to before we dismiss. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Boy, that is really difficult. Can we get a genius in here to explain this? Because we Christians, we're too stupid to understand what this means. It cannot mean that God wants us to get away from evil and sin. Because I like it too much. Now, of course, I'm lampooning that behavior. I don't think anybody would stand up and say that unless they were trying to pick a fight. But this is what often goes on. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Agitators come and they go. Alexanders and Hymenaeus and Philet, they come and they go. But the assembly of the righteous remain. When the smoke clears, there we are, having this seal upon them. The Lord knows those who are His. Ezekiel chapter 9. In a vision, God had showed him what was going to happen to Jerusalem. And here's what it says. Jehovah said to him, go through the midst of the city, through his messenger, not to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel's observing this. Go through the midst of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. And those with the mark were spared the judgment, because that's how God does business. He spares those who are His because He knows those who are His, and those who are His belong to Him because they're compliant. They're compliant with truth. How do you tell God no? We have several examples in Scripture. One of the most gentle ones is Ananias, when God says, I want you to go to Saul, who was Saul of Tarsus at the time. He's on a street called Straight. I want you to go straight there, and I want you to minister to him. And Ananias protests, this guy is bad for Christianity. He's persecuting us. He's arresting us. I'll go, but I'm not into it. And God says, he's a chosen vessel of mine. And Ananias was off with his orders and did it. And we will forever remember him as a man of reason and thought and concern for his own safety, and yet devout to God more than all of anything else. In just a simple passage of Scripture. Well, I want to read to you this Fellowship of the Unashamed, because this has to do with Christianity. The first one was a word to the pastor, and this is the word to the Christian. I don't know who the author of this is. I think Morehouse, I don't remember the first name, is credited with it, but I'm not sure. But here it is. I am a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learn by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My past is set. My gait, that is his walk, is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns. Give until I drop. Preach until all know the work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now these are superlatives. They're not attainable to us. But by pursuing them, we become superheroes for the kingdom. It's the pursuit of righteousness that brings the triumph, because without it, there will be no righteousness. And if it's a low-level pursuit, you'll get low-level rewards. That was Daniel so loved. Because not only was he willing to face men and lions, anything for his God. Now, if you're here and you don't know the scripture, you might not recognize that the last part of what I read is Romans chapter 1, Paul preaching, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And that is the Christian message. And so I have just a few things to say in closing. Let me go get through this last verse, if you won't mind, verse 19. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Too many selectively choose which sin they were going to depart from. Okay, understand those who are struggling with sin. I'm not now talking to you. I'm talking to those who aren't struggling with sin, who still want to be considered Christians. You want to be accepted in the assembly and not disfellowshipped, even though you think this is no big deal. And to give you some scripture verses, I'll give just two because of time. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, God speaking through Jeremiah. Is not my word like fire, says Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces? That's God's word. You have your walls up. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to receive this. I'm not going to be guilty before God or man. And the word of God hits you. That's how you get saved. That's how I got saved. I thought this was all a lie. I thought someone made it up till I realized nobody can write like this. There's no one that can capture these sorts of things. There's no literature on earth anywhere close to this when it comes to my soul, God of creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be suckered. The word is deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. Anybody says, yeah, I do those things, but God still, he's okay with it. No, he's not. You need to be washed from it. He said, I don't appreciate you bashing these groups. God bashed them, and God also provided a solution. He did not just say, hey, all of these and those groups, you're done. He did not say that. He makes it very clear that if you do or did those things, you can come out if you want. And so he says, and such were some of you, but you were sanctified. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It is the name of Christ that Christians are called to stand up for as witnesses, not lawyers. And we are promised we will be persecuted for this. Persecuted by men and blessed by God. I close with this verse, Acts chapter 19. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Our orders are those identical orders given to Paul. They're given to us. We are to bear his name.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the book of 2 Timothy the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through the book of 2 Timothy. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.